Good evening. I'm going to turn myself on. Isn't that great? You can turn yourself on. it's good to see all of you. I sat down and I saw maybe 10 people here. And then after we prayed, now I see 50. This is good. You should pray more.
Amen.
I told our church that right from the beginning that I started pastoring there, that I really felt like, believe that the most important service to for us is the prayer meeting. Because through prayer, this is how we ask God to work. And unless God works, all that we do on Sunday or our Saturday Bible clubs and visitation, all of that, you know, it's just man's effort. So prayer meeting is so important. We need God to work. How much effort do we, things do we do by our own strength and really not depending upon the Lord? So one of the prayer requests on for us on that prayer sheet is that we would pray more. And that definitely is one of our greatest needs, to pray more personally. I need to pray more personally. But it's good to be here. This is my last message. And maybe I should give you an update before I forget. Praise the Lord that on Friday, my mother will be able to get out of the hospital. She still is using a walker to walk, but she got her stitches out today, and the doctor approved her to leave on Friday. So that is very good. We're glad about that. Friday is my mother's birthday, so that'll be a good gift for her. So I'm going to be here about 10 more days, and I don't know that I will be, I probably will be here Sunday morning, but I think that'll be my last service. I'll be at a couple other churches next Sunday evening and Wednesday. So let me take this opportunity again to thank you for faithfully supporting us and praying for us. We are so thankful to have a church like this church. And what an encouragement that is for us as a family. All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to 1 John chapter 1. I mentioned that I preached a 3-message series on sin just before I left the Philippines, and the Lord led me to do that here as well. The first message, the high school young people may know this, it was on Romans 6, victory over sin. And of course, last Sunday night was confession of sin. And this message tonight, this text is very much related to last Sunday night's message. And in fact, after I preached from Psalm 51, both Jeff and Pastor Schlegel referred to 1 John 1:9. And that is our text tonight. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pause to pray again. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can always come to you on the merit of Jesus Christ, and thank you that His blood does cleanse us from all sin. Help us, Lord, in having a fresh and deeper understanding of this verse, and that this verse would not just stay on the page, but it would be flushed out in our lives, and we would make it a part of our walk with you. Strengthen us, and for those who are, all of us who are weak in some area, we ask that you would strengthen us tonight from this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, one of the greatest things that a church can do, maybe the greatest, is to pray, because that's when God works in answer to prayer. But There is, of course, a great hindrance to that. Sin separates us from God so that we can't pray. And sometimes we do confess our sins, but we still feel like God has not forgiven us. And so that also is a hindrance to us really being able to pour out our heart to the Lord. That is one of the lies of Satan. You know, Satan has a lot of lies regarding sin. Going back to Genesis chapter 3, one of Satan's lies before we sin is that, well, that temptation is so small. If you do that sin that is so insignificant, that really won't hurt you or mess things up. After we sin, then there's a second lie, the exact opposite. Satan tells us, well, you've really blown it. You are sinful and deep in sin. And what's the use now? You know, just stay in your sin. You've failed it before. You've failed now. So what's the use of trying to get that resolved? And another lie of Satan is that even if we confess our sins, then that feeling of guilt sometimes is in competition with the fact of our being forgiven. You know, there is a difference between the feeling of guilt and the fact of guilt. Sometimes, and when we feel guilty, we always do need to examine. Have I sinned against the Lord? Am I not right with the Lord? But after we've confessed our sin, sometimes that feeling of guilt lingers when, in fact, we are cleansed now. We don't have to feel like God can't hear us because God now can. And one of the verses that, of course, may be the key verse that really helps us is 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not a new verse, but I hope that by studying this again, that this will make more of an impact, a greater effect in our lives. So God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us if we confess our sins. There are three parts to that verse. First of all, you have a condition or the human responsibility to confess. Then you have really the main truth. Secondly, the main truth is that God is faithful and just. And then thirdly is the result. The result of making a genuine confession and God's faithfulness and being righteous is to forgive us. He forgives us and cleanses us. First of all, let's notice that God is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess. If we confess. So the condition is to confess our sins. Confess, the word homo logeo, same, speak, to speak the same thing or to agree with God about your sin. Instead of, or in contrast to, verse 8 and 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So instead of doing that, instead of saying, well, I have no sin, or saying, well, I have not sinned, instead what we ought to say is to say the same thing that God says about our sin, that we have sinned, and it is wickedness. To agree with God about our sin is to recognize that it's not just a mistake. It's not just a error in judgment. It is wickedness. know, when has that word started to fall away in its usage? Sin is wickedness. Sin is evil. So we must not just kind of disguise it as a wrong. That's one of the things that in the Philippines you can say nakasala ko, or you can say nakamali ko. You can say I sinned, or you can say, well, I made a mistake, nakamali. I made a mistake. Well, that is not really agreeing with God about what we did, or what we thought, or what we said, or that heart desire. Agreeing with God is to recognize that as wickedness. You know what wickedness is? I think one of the best verses for me on wickedness is Isaiah 53:6. That all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And in Tagalog, the word iniquity is kasamaan, which is the same word as wickedness. The Lord hath laid on Christ the wickedness, the iniquity of us all. And according to that verse, then, what is wickedness? Every time we go our own way. Every time we go our own way as far as thinking, actions, words, desires, every time we go our own way. And isn't that very common? Every time we go astray, we turn to our own way, our own thinking, our own will, our own desire. That is iniquity. That is wickedness for which Jesus Christ had to die. That is what our sin is, to confess that. I didn't really plan to teach you Tagalog tonight, but let me throw one more word out for you. The word confess in Tagalog is nagpahayag. And pahayag is also the name of the last book of the New Testament, which is Revelation. So what in the world, how in Tagalog do they use nagpahayag, confess, and pahayag for Revelation? What's the connection between confess and Revelation? Well, if you think about it a while, you can figure that out. That a revelation is an unveiling, right? It's revealing or unveiling. And when we confess, we are, instead of hiding that sin, we're unveiling that before God, confessing our sins. But notice also that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins, plural. Right? You notice that? It's the word sin is not singular. The word sin is plural. If we confess our sins, those individual acts of sin. So it's not just, Lord, forgive me for any bad thing I did today. It's individually naming or unveiling or confessing those sins before God. It's kind of like one man illustrated it as opening up packages. When we confess our sin, you know, there is first of all a sin that we know we need to confess, and we confess that like we open this package, we unveil it before God. But then often, once we unveiled that package, sometimes there's another package, another sin that we're reminded of as we confess that sin. Then another failure, another sin comes to mind. So we confess that. And then maybe another. And so confessing our sins, plural, is confessing them one by one as God brings them to mind. That is an agreeing with God about those sins. That they are wickedness, they're wrong. I did not have to do that. I'm not blaming my circumstances. I'm not blaming other people. I'm not saying my reaction would have been different if that person had not done that. You take full responsibility for what you did, for what you said, for what you thought. That is a genuine confession of your sins. And if you do that, then the second truth we move to, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And when you look at this verse, that is the core, the essence, the main idea of the verse. You know, the main idea of the verse, we look at that verse and we think of, well, it's about confessing and it's about forgiveness. And all of that is true. But, you know, whenever you have a sentence, you look for the subject and the verb, right, as the core of that sentence. And the core of that sentence then, of that verse, is what? What's the subject and the verb there, or predicate? God is faithful and just. And that is the foundation of forgiveness. The foundation of forgiveness is that God is faithful and just. The foundation of forgiveness is not my nature. It is God's nature. It's not that, well, I'm really, really sincere. I'm really, really repentant. You know, obviously you do need to be genuine and not, you know, heart, regarding still iniquity in your heart. But your forgiveness, our forgiveness, is based upon God, God's nature, that God is faithful and God is just or righteous. God is faithful to keep His promises. God is just or He's righteous to keep His word. And the holy, perfect God will not endanger His character, His nature, by failing to forgive you, for failing to be faithful or righteous to you. God has said He would forgive, and He will. The fact of God's faithfulness and righteousness has helped me greatly, and probably besides confessing and forgiveness of sins, the time that it helped me the most was my salvation and assurance of it. I was saved when I was 9 years old. When I was 5, I made a profession of faith. I wanted to go to heaven and not go to hell. And I asked my father about that. And we talked about that. And I talked about that with my Sunday school teacher. And I made a profession of faith. But I did not genuinely get saved at that point. I remember that my Sunday school teacher told me, after she gave me the gospel, she said, okay, now you can pray and ask God to save you. And I was 5, and I said, I don't know how to pray. So she said, okay, I'll show you, I'll help you. Just repeat after me. And so she led me phrase by phrase in a prayer of salvation. And someone can be saved that way if his heart is really praying. If he makes those words his words. But I remember distinctly that as I was praying that prayer at 5 years old, I was most of all focusing, all my focus was on the words of that prayer. I didn't want to make any mistake. I wanted to repeat that prayer exactly the way she said it. Because if I messed up, then I might not get saved. So my hope, my faith was in the words of that prayer instead of the person of Jesus Christ. But when I was 9, I was genuinely saved. I saw a film. They showed one Sunday night a film, and maybe you've heard of this film, The Burning Hell. Now, that film, I'm sure, would not meet many awards for graphics today, but it was it did help me to realize the reality of hell. And I asked the Lord to save me. But there were times from after I was 9 until I was 18, times I would doubt my salvation. And I'm sure that was related to the fact that I sinned. And sometimes was sinning a lot. And someone who's even a genuine believer who is living a sinful life, doing a backslidden, God does not give him that confidence often that he's saved. And I often doubted my salvation. And I settled those doubts, at least temporarily, by asking God to save me again. So I don't know how many times, dozens of times, I asked God to save me. I surrendered my life to the Lord when I was 16, and I started having daily devotions, lessening the amount of TV I watched, but instead having devotions every day, and I began to grow, and eventually the Lord made it clear that He wanted me to be a preacher. So I was a first-year college student preparing for the ministry, and enjoying it, loving it, and I don't know that from 16 to 18, in those 2 years, I had ever doubted my salvation. It was like from age 9 to age 16 that I really doubted. But then, one night, as I was a first semester Bible major, for really no explanation at all, the thought came to my mind, what if I'm not saved? And I don't know why that thought came to my mind, because I had not committed a sin that I knew of. I'm sure I sinned that day, but there was nothing that was obvious to me. And I began to wonder, you know, how can I be a preacher if I'm not really saved? And most of all, what will happen to me if I'm not really saved after I die? I'll go to hell. And it was after lights out, and I was talking to my roommates about that. I think that was illegal, but that was really burdening me. So I we were all lying in bed, lights off, but I was asking them, and no clear help from them, although they did try. And so I came to the point where we closed the conversation. And I was going to, again, in my heart, ask God to save me, as I had done dozens of times before. But then, just before I did that, God brought a truth to my mind, that, and a verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I did that. I called on the Lord to save me. And He promised that He would save me. And then I remember thinking this thought. I don't necessarily recommend this, but this is what I thought. This ran through my mind. Okay, here's what I'll do. If I've asked God to save me, I've called upon Him to save me, and He said He would. So if I go to hell because God failed to keep His promise, well, I'll just have to go to hell then. And after I ran that through my mind, I had peace. Because I knew that God is faithful. God will keep His promises. And if I go to hell resting on God's promise to save me, if I trust and ask, then that's what's going to have to happen. But I knew that God is faithful, and He is righteous to keep His word. And that is the same kind of concept, God's faithfulness and righteousness to keep His promises, to keep His word. That helps me when I confess my sin. And there's still that kind of feeling of guilt. But God said this. And God keeps His word. God is faithful and just. And the third part of this verse is that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So those sins that we confessed, He forgives them. And the word forgive means, the root meaning of forgive is release. I'm talking about the Greek word translated forgive. The root idea of that word is release. Now, release from what? Well, when we're saved, we're released from the penalty of sin, and we're also released from that alienation caused by sin. And now that we're saved, we don't need to fear the penalty of sin, but whenever we sin, that fellowship with God is broken, and that has to be restored. That alienation has to be from God. There has to be a release or dismissal of that. And that's what God does. When we confess our sins, He forgives us our sins. Each one of those sins, each sin, results in a breaking of fellowship. Even if it was just one sin, fellowship with God is broken. But that alienation caused by sin, that's released. That's taken care of. And we're in fellowship with God again. He forgives us of our sins. But have you ever thought about this? What are about those sins that I don't realize I've committed? And so I don't confess them because I don't realize I've committed them. And if you've been a Christian some length of time, you realize that now you realize some things are sins that you did not realize before. Before, you just kind of realized the big things or the well-known things are sin. But now that you've grown, you realize, wow, there's a lot of things I do. Motive, wrong motives, a wrong thought, a wrong heart desire, a wrong goal, purpose. Here are all these commands. You realize now that there are more sins than you realized before. And we're all on the path of spiritual growth. So what about those sins that we didn't confess because we don't really know? We needed to confess them. And the last part of that verse tells us, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess all those sins that we know of, as God brings them to mind, He forgives us of them, and in addition, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, even those things that we don't know of. When I was a boy, one of the most hated things for me to do was to weed, take out the weeds in the garden. There were multiple reasons for that. It was work. That was one reason why I hated it. Also, it was often hot out there. And my mother, my dear mother, she would grow things that I didn't want to be grown. Number one of which is bitter melon. Have you ever eaten that? Who's eaten that? Bitter melon. Okay. Shailene. Gabe. Gabe says no. So all these years he's avoided that. Because my mom would make that often. But you can, I saw it in Jewel once. And it's called that for an obvious reason. Now, that is the name. We didn't just make that up. Bitter melon. It's very bitter. You eat it and you wonder why you're eating this. It doesn't taste good. But my mom loved that stuff. And she would be growing all this. And I'm not sure if she told my sister or Gabe or others to weed the garden. Maybe it was my self-centered perspective, but I always thought it was me that had to weed the garden, get the weeds out. And I would do that. I would get those all the weeds that I could see. But after a week or more, there would be weeds that had grown back. And that was, I quickly realized that when I weeded the garden, I got those weeds out, then that there were other weeds that I didn't see that were there. Maybe little seeds or something underneath the ground that were still there. And that is the same way with confessing our sins. We deal with the weeds that we see, the sins that we see, and God forgives us of them. But even those things that are under the surface, things that we don't see or realize, God will cleanse us from all of those. If you look at verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The blood of Christ cleanses us, purges us from all sin. That's the same word in verse 9. Katharizo. We're purged, cleansed from all sin. What a glorious salvation we have. And what a glorious forgiveness as believers that we have. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of those sins and to completely purge us from all unrighteousness. Satan wants to hinder our prayers so much because it's calling upon God to work, and God answers prayers. God works as a result of prayer. So one of the things Satan wants to do is to keep us from really praying by keeping us in sin or thinking that we're unforgiven. But we can claim this verse. We can lay our full confidence in God's forgiveness and cleansing of us upon His faithfulness, and that He is a righteous God. That will never change. Let's pray. Our Father, You are so merciful and gracious to us. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for doubting You, for not living and thinking according to Your word and the promises in it. And we ask that You would help us in resting our soul, our thoughts, upon Your faithfulness, upon Your righteousness, when we confess our sins, to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank You for the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.